Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Alhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah. We begin first of all by making dua for brothers and sisters in Gaza, and also in Sudan and everywhere around the world. Allahumma kun bi'awnihim, Allahumma ansurhum ala man aadahum, Allahumma arham mawtahum, Allahumma ja'al awladahum faratan lahum, Allahumma kun bi'awnihim ya rabbal alameen, Allahumma thabbithum, Allahumma warfa'anhum al-bala wa wahid ووحد شمل المؤمنين اللهم رد المسلمين إلى دينك مردا جميلا آمين يا رب العالمين. My brothers and sisters, tonight inshallah we are going to talk about the first topic in the theme of the character of a believer. And tonight inshallah we are going to talk about the meaning of brotherhood in faith, in Islam. What does it mean? How is it practiced? What are the different types of brotherhood? What does it mean to love your brother or your sister for the sake of Allah? What are some examples that we can use? And on what basis? On what basis is our brotherhood bond based on? What is loyalty? Loyalty in what? I begin with a story that happened a few years back to someone who was close to me. I used to go and visit him in prison. And this young man had a good upbringing. However, when he was about in his early 20s, you know what young people do sometimes, they get with the wrong groups and friends, and even if you're innocent, the wrong groups, the wrong friends who are not loyal to you for the sake of Allah, and when your brotherhood is not based on advising one another of what brings you closer to Jannah and takes you away from hellfire, then you either take part in criminal acts or you become collateral damage. And a lot of those so-called friends who claim loyalty to you, if it's not based on the standard of deen, of faith that unites us strongly from within, many of them will leave you and hang you to dry. This young man went to prison and I used to visit him. And when I visited him, he used to tell me the stories in prison. He said, in prison, the way you survive is different to the outside world. The way you survive is you have to first of all quickly find your ethnic group, the people that come from your same background. So this was a prison in Australia, and most of them are Australian in there. But when it came to survival, each one went with their own ethnic group, each one belonging to their race. And if you didn't belong to a race or an ethnic group, you're in trouble. The Lebanese were the Lebanese, Iraqis with the Iraqis, the Turkish with the Turks, the Albanians with the Albanians, the Somalis with the Somalis, the Anglos with the Anglos, the Asians with the Asians, you get it. There weren't many Somalis then at that time anyway in prison, alhamdulillah, that's a good thing. But you know, this person ended up in there and he says to me, I stuck with my Lebanese group, which helped him a little bit. One of the inmates got attacked by another ethnic group because of something silly, and this young man defended him. And he said to me that my life is in danger. I said, may Allah protect you. After about a week or two, he told me that, subhanAllah, I began to talk to my other brothers in Islam from the different ethnicities, and we found a bond of deen and Islam. And he became their leader. And then a new group formed in prison that the others never seen before. The bond of Islamic, the Islamic bond, the brotherhood bond, not the brotherhood name, the ukhuwa, which means brothers in Islam. The Albanians, the Turks, the Africans, the Arabs, all the Muslims came together, and they were a huge group. Nobody could mess with them. They prayed together, they fasted together, they had Eid together, they invited me to go there and talk to them about deen. And we're talking about the most hardcore type of people who've done heinous crimes. But alhamdulillah, this reformed some of them and changed some of their character. And that's what Islam does if a person takes it seriously. The thing is, they hit rock bottom. And it happened to be the criminal world where they had to be brothers that bonded them. However, to show you, brothers and sisters, that the brotherhood, when it's based on the rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even if it's people who didn't have a good life, the deen reforms you. And the brotherhood bond is the strongest in the world. The brotherhood under true Islam, true deen, true faith, proper. Not hypocritically. Not when you want to use your brother or sister in Islam for your own benefit. Not so that you can cheat them. Not so that you can gain something from them. But truly for the sake of Allah. Now, subhanAllah, what is brotherhood in Islam? Of course, this brother, he left prison, alhamdulillah, reformed himself and changed his entire life. Said, the crime world is not for me. What is brotherhood in Islam? It is first mentioned in the Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Hujurat, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةً إنما المؤمنون إخوة فأصلحوا بين أخويكم واتقوا الله لعلكم ترحمون. Allah says, as a matter of fact, the true believers are brothers and sisters. They are brothers and sisters in faith. So reconcile and settle the affairs and help your brothers and sisters to not fight, so they can bond together, they can love one another, they can support each other. Reconcile between them always. Don't cause fights between them, but cause reconciliation. فَأَصْلِحُ بَيْنَ أَخَوَيْكُمْ. Advise one another when they're doing something wrong by stopping them from their wrong, and motivate them and inspire them and support them to do the good and to change their ways. This is true brotherhood. فَأَصْلِحُ بَيْنَ أَخَوَيْكُمْ. Reconcile the affairs between your brethren. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ. And fear Allah in the process, meaning do it under the fear of Allah. Do it under the guidance of Allah. Do it under the loyalty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The guidance and the teachings of Allah. In the hope that you may receive mercy. There is mercy in the true brotherhood in its real name, in its real meaning. And there is mercy in the hereafter as well. Allah tells us that those who used to be brothers and sisters and love one another for the sake of Allah, under Allah's guidance, on the day of judgment, what does the Prophet, peace be upon him, describe them as? Listen to the beautiful hadith. In Abu Dawood, number 3527, the Prophet, peace be upon him, said to his companions once, there are among the servants of Allah.
Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Allah, that I know, and Allah has shown me, I have seen them, I know them, meaning Allah showed him in the future on the Day of Judgment. They are neither prophets, nor are they martyrs. But on the Day of Judgment, the prophets and the martyrs will envy them. How will they envy them? Meaning they will be impressed by what they see in them, that they would like to have a share of that too. Or, you know, when I talked about envy, there's good envy and bad envy. They will envy them in a good way, meaning they'll be so happy with them, but impressed for them. They will envy them in a good way on the Day of Judgment because of the status that they will receive. They said, O Messenger of Allah, please tell us who they are. He said, they are people who in this earth, they used to love one another and they had a bond with each other as a community or as individuals. Biruhillah, in the spirit of Allah. What is the spirit of Allah? Meaning within the guidance of Allah, in the love of Allah. They loved each other under the spiritual guidance and umbrella of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. عَلَى غَيْرِ أَرْحَامٍ بَيْنَهُمْ. Even though they did not have any relationship of blood or lineage between them. They weren't cousins or relatives or family. Nor were they having a bond based on money or property, which they were partnerships in. For wallahi, he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, their faces are light. They're not made of light, they are light itself. They are nur itself, like the sun. And they will be on towers of light. They will not fear when everyone else will fear, and they will not be saddened when everyone else is saddened. And then the Prophet, peace be upon him, recited the ayah. أَلَا إِنَّ أَوْلِيَاءَ اللَّهِ لَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. Behold, the true, pious, close ones of Allah, there will be no fear upon them and no harm upon them. And these same brothers and sisters in this world, who are brothers and sisters in iman and faith, on the Day of Judgment will intercede for each other. They'll say, my Lord, so-and-so, we used to do this such and such good act together. We used to go to the masjid together. We used to do charity together. We used to help and assist together. We used to support the needy and the ones in need. We stood together in the face of hardships and challenges on truth and justice together. On the Day of Judgment, they'll say, our Lord, save them, protect them. If they see that they had sins, they will vouch for you and you will vouch for them. Everyone else will blame each other. My Lord, blame him, blame her. They led me astray. They made me go on drugs. They made me do that crime. They made me assault this person. They made me carry weapons around to threaten people and cause fear in people. They made me steal. They made me go after my lust. They made me be like this to my parents. They. Wallahi al-azim. Those people here in this world who appear as loyal to you or you loyal to them in whatever name you want to give it, whatever group you want to call yourself, Wallahi, these people will be enemies on the Day of Judgment, if not already in this world. When you're in need of them, they'll leave you to rot and throw you under the bus very easily. I remember an ex-thug gangster in the US who I knew a few years back because he became an imam himself. He said, the thug life and the gangster life is a life where he or she will look like they are so loyal to you, so long as they're benefiting something. And then the day you get married, let's say, and he knows that you have money, he will come into your house, steal your money, and if he has access to your wife, he'll even molest her. And then if he stands up to protect her, he'll shoot you. He said that was the thug gangster life. They don't care about you. A gangster and a thug will respect an imam, a person of knowledge and wisdom. The moment that person of knowledge and wisdom acts like a thug, the thug looks and says, oh, you're a thug like me. Respect is gone. They'll treat you like one. Everything becomes lawful for them. And young people these days look for a so-called brotherhood or a belonging that we have seen now on the rise, unfortunately. No purpose, no other goal, just going about trying to be something or someone. So they attach themselves to certain groups, they carry with them weapons, they go around to, for example, the shopping centers, they create fights, they'll go and act all strong and thuggish. Why? And they're Muslim or believers. Why do that? Into their rap songs, with all the F words and the S words and the drug words and I don't know what. And you know who they'll love even more? A person who sings them rap, who's teaching them about drugs, but they will love him more when he puts the Palestinian kafir or flag on him or her. He's the hero because they put a Palestinian flag. Islam and deen and brotherhood cannot be played around with. Yes, maybe that's a good cause, but they're not role models. This is called hypocrisy. Or maybe, you know, I want to take from the deen what I like and what's haram, I want to keep doing it. I wear two masks or two hats or three hats. It doesn't work that way. And this is what the shaytan said, وَزَيَّنَ لَهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ وَأَعْمَالَهُمْ فَصَدَّهُمْ عَنِ السَّبِيلِ فَهُمْ لَا يَهْتَدُونَ. The shaytan decorated their actions to them. They made it look good. So he took them off the right path, and you will find them not being guided no matter how much they go. So brothers and sisters, brotherhood and sisterhood is not one that is based on these worldly materialistic things or these criminal gangster things. And it's not based on looks or appearance or popularity. The brotherhood is for what? Who is the main player in our brotherhood? When we are brothers and sisters in Islam, in faith, who is the main player? Who is the guide for us? On what standards is our brotherhood based on? What is it based on? If you don't know what it is based on, then it is not a true Islam, true, a faithful brotherhood. It is not a real one. It is not, the true brotherhood is not the one that is based on ethnicity. The true brother is not the one based on color. It's not based on money or power or sex, you know, sexual temptations. It is by Allah's rules. When Allah governs the way we are. And if I am your brother and you are my brother, and the time of salat comes, and you truly are my loyal brother, then you will think about my well-being in this world and my well-being in the hereafter, two of them. And you will say to me, brother, let's stop. Let's go to do our salat. You remind me and I remind you. You might say, well, what about a non-Muslim who reminds me of salat? They're pretty good. There are some non-Muslims, mashallah, who have amazing character and they're quite loyal and they'll remind you of your prayer. But that's only halfway.
Since 1981, Unbound has connected people like you with families worldwide on their self-directed paths out of poverty. A brighter future is possible for these families when we all walk together. Sponsor a child today and you'll help a family take the first steps on their path. Change their future in just one click. Start walking with your new friend today at unbound.org/walk.
Hey, why? Because you're not sharing the same brotherhood bond. But imagine when you share the same brotherhood, the same values, the same reminders, you're going to be brothers and sisters in this world and guess where else? In the hereafter as well. That's the ultimate brotherhood and sisterhood in this world and in the hereafter. For a true Muslim, in any situation, Allah is the main player. In fact, the only one. He is not the backup. He's not like a backup player for us or like a bench player. Only when you need him to serve your cause and then place the idea of Allah and his loyalty back on the bench. Once I was in a situation where we had some friends around and, you know, they like Islam, they'll pray and then they'll cut their prayers, but they're into that life, you know, that materialistic life. And a fight broke out with another group over a girl. And those other people, the Muslim ones, were also hitting on girls themselves, on other ladies. But when that other group hit on the lady that's with them, suddenly it turned into an Islamic thing. Allahu Akbar, I fight for my deen. Ya akhi, you're in the wrong place. You're doing the wrong thing. You're around that environment and suddenly you turned it into deen? It doesn't work that way. That's like leaving our deen on the bench when we need it. Or sometimes if I say go and I put a tattoo on myself and that tattoo is I love Allah. I am and will always be and die as a Muslim and I tattoo it all over me. I put Allah's name, La ilaha illallah, all of this means nothing. If my actions, my faith, my life, my relationships are not based on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's guidance and parameters, Allah is not the first, no. This has a different meaning now. So brothers and sisters, we need to evaluate and see what is brotherhood bond really based on. Subhanallah. There was a battle called the Battle of Yarmouk. In the Battle of Yarmouk, this story appears in Al-Bidayah wa Nihaya by Ibn Kathir and also Al-Mustadrak ala Sahihain, which talks about three companions. Their names were Al-Harith ibn Hisham, wa Ikram ibn Abi Jahl, wa Ayyash ibn Abi Rabi'a. In that battle, the Battle of Yarmouk, I think it was Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas who was the commander after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A lot of the Muslims were injured in that battle. And these three were put in a tent to serve the or to attend to the injured. Their injuries were quite serious. And there was limited amount of water. So one of the companions entered to give them water. So he approached Al-Harith ibn Hisham, one of the former companions of the Prophet, peace be upon him. And he came to give him a little bit of that water. He said, water, water. As he approached him, Al-Harith could see Ikrimah ibn Abi Jahl, who was also a companion, sitting and he was looking at the water. He said, give my brother the water before giving it to me. I can see him looking at the water. I refuse. So he went and gave Ikrimah the water. Then Ikrimah saw another companion, Ayyash, asking for water. He said, Wallahi, I won't drink until you give Ayyash, my brother, the water first. He goes to give it to Ayyash, he finds him dead. By the time he got to him, he was just dying. He came back to Al-Harith and he found him dead. And then he went back to Ikrimah and he had also passed away. All three of them passed away, went back to Allah, while think of their other brother to give him water before themselves. That is the brotherhood that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the best teacher in the world, and all the prophets and messengers of Allah who came to us, taught us and raised us upon. Now, of course, these were great role models. And we're not asking for brotherhood to be based on that, but at least this day and age, something small we get selfish with sometimes. Something small we'll throw our brother and sister under the bus for. Or we will backbite them and gossip about them and probably be even happy to hear bad news about them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises this act in the Quran, saying, وَيُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصًا. Allah praises these companions, says, and they used to put their own brethren before themselves while they themselves were in need. Those were the muhajirin, the ansar, the migrants and the ansar, the victors of the Prophet ﷺ in early Islam. The greatest role models. Allah chose them to be there at that time as role models for us. My brothers and sisters, brotherhood and sisterhood comes in five types. There is the brotherhood and sisterhood in faith and religion. You can also be a brother, have a brotherhood in blood relationships. Number three, you can be brothers and sisters through wet nursery. In Islam, if a baby suckles from another mother before the age of two, four stomachfuls, they become the wet nurse brother or sister of all the children of that woman who breastfed them. Number four, there is a brotherhood and sisterhood in race, nationality, and tribe. And number five, we have a brotherhood and sisterhood in humanity. All of them are brotherhood and sisterhood systems which Islam acknowledges and praises. But the ultimate and the highest brotherhood and sisterhood of all of these, which encompasses them all, that without it, all of it means nothing, is what? The brotherhood and sisterhood in faith and iman. It is what bonds all us Muslims together, no matter where you are, in the Far East or West, North or South. You are my brother and my sister. And I would like to take a moment right now, just to stop for about 1 minute or a few seconds. I would like you, my dear brothers and sisters, to turn to the person next to you, whether you know them or not. And you have an option to either shake their hand or give them a hug. Right now, can you do that? Let us feel the brotherhood and sisterhood bond between us. Who did you hug, Hadrami? Ah, good. You don't have anyone to hug? Ta'ala. Yeah, I will hug you. Habibi. Habibi. Normally, when we meet, we shake hands. But if a person is coming from a distance, you haven't seen him in a while, you hug. But tonight I asked you to hug because this is a good moment, teaching moment, for us to feel what it means, brotherhood and sisterhood between us. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the hadith is in Sahih Muslim, وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ لَا تَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةَ حَتَّى تُؤْمِنُ. By the one who possesses my soul, you will never enter paradise, or you will not never, the correct word is you will not enter paradise until you believe. And you will not believe until you love one another. وَلَا تُؤْمِنُ حَتَّى تَحَابُوا. Until you love one another for the sake of Allah. أَوَلَا أَدُلُّكُمْ عَلَى شَيْءٍ. The Prophet, peace be upon him, said, would you like me to know? Would you like me to point to you to something? إِذَا فَعَلْتُمُهُ تَحَابَبْتُمْ. If you do it a lot, your love for each other will increase. أَفْشُ السَّلَامَ بَيْنَكُمْ. Spread the greeting of Assalamu alaykum among you. What does Assalamu alaykum mean? Why is that such a special greeting between Muslims? Why? In the earlier prophets and messengers like Ibrahim alayhi salam and the others, all the way to Musa and Jesus alayhi salam, all of them revered honorable prophets and messengers of Allah, they used to say the word salam or shalom in Hebrew and so on. But in Islam, we say further than that, adding to it assalamu alaykum, and you can say assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and it is compulsory to reply. Allah says in the Quran, and if you are greeted with a good greeting, then reply the same or better. Actually, it says reply better or the same. And in Arabic, when you put one thing before the next in this sequence, it means the first recommendation is better and more beloved to Allah than the second recommendation. So once again, Allah says, if you are greeted with a good greeting, then respond with a better greeting or the same. بِأَحْسَنِ مِنْهَا أَوْ مِثْلَ أَوْ رُدُّوهَا, or just reply. So if a person says to you, assalamu alaykum, you say wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullah, or wa alaykum assalam, but not less. Some people say assalamu alaykum, say wa alaykum. This is not right. Assalamu alaykum wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullah, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah, wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu, wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu, add anything else, wa maghfiratuhu. What does assalamu alaykum mean? My brothers and sisters, assalamu alaykum has a meaning linguistically, and it has a meaning in action and practice. You have to bring both of them together, not just word, but also in practice. Let's see what it means. Al, the. And whenever you add al to any noun in the Arabic language, it carries a higher importance, and it becomes either a name of someone, or it becomes the perfection of that word. So we say, As-salamu. May the entire perfect peace, may the entire perfect peace be upon you. There are so many angles of peace in our life that we want. In all angles and areas, may Allah give you perfect and complete peace. Wa rahmatullah, and may Allah's mercy be upon you. Wa barakatuhu, and His blessings upon you and His bounties. And when you reply, wa maghfiratuhu, and His forgiveness and pardoning. Brothers and sisters, this is not just a simple greeting like saying hello. When I used to teach at the school, as a teacher, students used to say to me, I've got some of the former students here, you can confirm this. They say to me, hi sir, what did I used to say? Some of you know, I used to say, wa alaykum al-hai. Bye sir, wa alaykum al-bye. Just trying to teach them in a funny way, that we have a better greeting. You want to say hi, bye, that's fine, that's okay. But let's teach them also to say with it, assalamu alaykum. Hi, assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum, hi. Bye, wa alaikum assalam. Alaikum assalam, bye. Good, alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, good. Let us learn this beautiful word. Now that we know what it means, what does it entail, my brothers and sisters? When you say assalamu alaikum to someone, it's a contract and a promise. You're stuck. You have just made a contract and a promise. What is that contract and promise to that person? That not only have you asked Allah to give them peace and tranquility in all their affairs, but you also promise that from you, you will also ensure that they are at peace and safety from you. What are they at peace and safety from you in? From your tongue. You will not say anything bad to them during your conversation. You will not say anything bad about them when you leave. You will not expose the secrets that they told you in there, if it's their personal secrets, to other people. And you'll either say something good about them or be silent. It's a contract. And that is why when you make a contract with someone, assalamu alaykum, Allah commands us in the Quran to reply better or same, meaning that now it's a two-way contract. And the person who doesn't reply the salam, the Prophet peace be upon him, called him one of the most selfish people. So brothers and sisters, that's what it means. Now some people may say salamu alaykum, not meaning it, and you can't trust them. You say wa alaykum assalam in your mind, if you don't trust them and they truly are untrustworthy people and all their actions have proved it and they've thrown you under the bus before, you can say wa alaykum assalam, and in your mind, if you stick to it, but I'll be keeping an eye, but I will not be the initiator. So it can change depending on who you say wa alaykum assalam to. a person who's untrustworthy and could do a lot of things to you, and you say, wa alaykum as-salam, they can't say to you, but you made a contract, you're supposed to this or that. You say, yes, that's conditional. If a person's untrustworthy, a Muslim is not asked or commanded to lower their dignity, their property, and subject themselves to vulnerability. But in general, as-salamu alaykum means that. So the Prophet, peace be upon him, once entered Medina when he migrated, and he was on his camel. As soon as he entered, among the first things he did was say this, Ayyuhan nas, O people. Why did the Prophet, peace be upon him, say, O people, and not O believers? Because the Messenger of Allah came to the entire world, the Muslims and the non-Muslims, the old and the young. Ayyuhan nas, O people, everyone. Afshu salam, spread peace among you, and greet each other with words of peace. Wasilu afshu salam wa at'imu at'am, feed and share your food and goodness. Wasallu bil layli wan nasu niyam, pray in the darknesses of the night when everyone else is asleep. Wasilu arham, connect your family ties or help in doing so, or maintain it as much as you can. تَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةَ بِسَلَامٍ, you will enter paradise also in peace. So if you establish peace here, guess what your reward is? Peace in the hereafter. هَلْ جَزَاءُ الْإِحْسَانِ إِلَّا الْإِحْسَانِ, Allah says in the Quran, is there any other reward for goodness except the same in goodness? So when you live a life here in this world of true brotherhood, of true peace among one another, where other Muslims and other people, the Prophet peace be upon him said, al-Muslimu, the true Muslim, the true submitter to Allah, man salima an-nasu min lisanihi wa yadihi, he or she is the one whom others find security and safety from their words, their tongue, and their hands, meaning that people feel safe around them. You're not going to oppress or violate other people's rights. So people who live like that in this world, what is their reward in the hereafter except peace and the same treatment from Allah and from the rewards that they get? My brothers and sisters, being brothers and sisters in blood is a natural bond. Your father, your mother, your brother, your sister, your children, your spouse, your cousins, your relatives. And Islam tells us to maintain that bond, even if they are non-believers, Muslim and non-Muslim. So we don't mistreat our non-Muslim father, our non-Muslim mother, our non-Muslim brother and sister, and non-Muslim cousin or relative, no matter what, even if they swear at your religion. We avoid that, we advise them, we walk away, but we maintain our relationship with them from other angles where there is no disrespect and there is no humiliation and violation. So long as they're doing that, you can avoid them, but connect with them in other ways. And this is what Allah says in the Quran. And even if your parents who were disbelievers and they command you and strive against you to make partners with me, then do not obey them, but still live with them on goodness. Race, nationality, and tribe. Yes, you'll be brothers and sisters in race, nationality, and tribe. And those who are closer to you in relationship in this world have the greater right of your service than others. Add to that, if they are related to you and they are believers and Muslims, their right increases doublefold. If they are Muslims and they are related to you and they are your neighbors, then their right is three times fold. My brothers and sisters, and there is the brotherhood and sisterhood in humanity. And this is Muslims and non-Muslims. We are all naturally brothers and sisters because our lineage is from the same father and mother, Adam and Eve and Hawa. And this is a general civil relationship that we have with everyone. It is one of community relationship, which means mercy, compassion, goodness, understanding, rights between each other. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Prophet peace be upon him, said, Kullukum, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, all of you are from Adam, and Adam was from the soil. So what are we all from originally? We're from the earth. So no one claims superiority of their lineage or their color or their wealth or their gender above others. We are all from the earth, from the soil, and to it we shall return. My brothers and sisters, how does loving for the sake of Allah work? We said that the Prophet, peace be upon him, said, those who love each other for the sake of Allah will be on high towers of light on the Day of Judgment. The prophets and the martyrs even will envy them and be impressed by the sight. There are three ways of loving each other for the sake of Allah. Sorry, there are three ways that we love each other, and one of them is for the sake of Allah. Let me explain. The first one is loving one another naturally because of natural bond, such as the love that you have for your relative, for your friend, for someone who is there for you, the love that you might have for your pet, for example, the love that you might have for a good neighbor. These things, regardless whether they're Muslim or non-Muslim, you can love them on a worldly basis because of the bond that you have. The Prophet Muhammad, for example, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, had that natural love for who? His uncle Abu Talib. In the verse in the Quran where Allah says, إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتَ. You cannot guide, O Messenger of Allah, those whom you love. You love your uncle, you love your relatives, you love those who are not believing in your message, but even while you love them, O Messenger of Allah, you will not be able to guide them if they don't choose so. And Allah is the one who guides whomever He wills. Allah guides to the path whomever wants to be guided, whoever goes for the guidance. So his uncle, for example, in the Sunni belief, he did not convert to Islam, and others among his family did not revert to Islam. Some of them not initially, some of them never, such as Abu Lahab. And he loved some of them from his heart. His uncle Abu Talib was there for him in every sense of the word. And Allah says, even if the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam loves someone with all his heart in a worldly bond, it will not, you know, that's separate to how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept them or not. If they're not believers of Allah, they don't love Allah, you can love each other here. But as for Allah's relationship, that's a different story. One man, I think it was Abu Jahl and the others, they came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, what happened to your love and your bond with your uncle Abu Talib? All that and that support, he ends up in hellfire? Your Lord does that to him? And he said, wallahi, if it wasn't for me and my words to him, probably even his supplication for him, he would be in the depth of hellfire. But he is in the surface of the fire. Anyway, brothers and sisters, that's the thing for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not for us to have any room in talking about it. But I wanted to make a point that you can love people naturally because of a natural bond. They treat you well, you can trust them, they're related to you, such as your wife or your husband and so on, even if, you know, your relatives were not Muslim. That's why in Islam, you know, if a Muslim man marries a Christian or a Jewish woman, he can love her, for example. Number two is called fake love. What is the fake love? It is showing love because of worldly gains you can get out of that person. That's another love people have. That's a very thin love. And number three, loving because of the religious qualities you see in that person. So loving each other for the sake of Allah is what, therefore? It is loving the religious qualities or the good qualities which Allah loves that you see in that person. The more you see it in that person, the greater your love increases for that person. Now that just doesn't happen overnight. Love, the heart, is controlled by who? It's controlled by Allah. You can't just buy love and sell it and just decide I'm going to love and not love. So what is the key? That's a sign of how much you love Allah. That's a sign of how much you love to worship Allah. That's a sign of how much you love your relationship with Allah. That's a sign of how much you love to follow Allah's guidance. The more you love it for yourself, when you see in others, you start to love that person too, naturally. That's your iman that creates that love for that person. Tell you, what if that other person, you see those good qualities in them, but from other angles, they're pathetic, they're terrible, they're abusive, let's say. No, Islam tells you, you don't love them from that angle, but you can still love them from the angle of deen, of Islam, which means that it can be a love that is based on certain treatments that you will allow and certain treatments you won't allow. But the more this person's character and this person's actions of worship, which Allah loves, increases in that person, you see it, the more the believer's love grows for that person. And that is why they'll be on towers of light on the Day of Judgment. Because it's not just about forging a love for the sake of Allah. It really comes from your heart because you yourself are a believer who loves Allah. It is like when Umar radiallahu anhu said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Messenger of Allah, I love you more than anything except myself. He's being honest. So he said to him, no, until I am more beloved to you than even yourself, Ya Umar, because I'm the Messenger of Allah. So he thought about it and he said, now I love you even more than myself. He says, how, Ya Umar? He said, I looked at your qualities and mine and I found that your qualities are more beloved to Allah than me, so I found myself loving you. I don't know what I was thinking. So that's a love that comes from Iman. The more you read the Quran, the more you understand it, the more you do your salah, the more you fix your sins, the more you repent, the more you become better, brothers and sisters, you will find naturally that you will start getting drawn towards those other people who are also increased in Iman and you love them. But we also have a general love for all our brothers and sisters around the world. Any Muslim in the world, the love for them is one degree more than anyone else. You might share the love of humanity, the love of bond of blood and relationship, the love of race and ethnicity, and then if that person is also a Muslim, the love for them is unmatched. So loving because of the religious qualities you see in a person, and that can vary, so different degrees. You don't love them all the same. Don't feel you're guilty about it. And this comes in two categories, as I said. A general love for all Muslims because of their belief and faith in Allah and His religion. And then there is exclusive love for a person for the sake of Allah. These are individuals, an individual Muslim who you see noble qualities which Allah loves. This is not forced, as I said, but comes as a result of your faith and your conviction in yourself. When you love Allah and His Messenger, His Quran and what Allah loves, you begin to love those qualities you see in the person, hence the person possessing those qualities, you love them more. How do you show that love for that Muslim brother or sister? How do you show the love? Two ways. Number one, you love them. You love for them what you love for yourself. That's the first way you show your love to your brothers and sisters. You love for them what you love for yourself. And you would hate for them what you would hate to happen to yourself. Of course, we're talking about a normal, level-headed person. Number two, assist and support them however you can, such as advising them in good or advising them to leave the bad. Sincerely from your heart and with goodness, motivating them to do good, complimenting them to encourage them, greeting them with the best of greeting, checking on them, and so on and so forth. The Prophet, peace be upon him, said, one of the ways, Yani, explaining how we love one another, he said, Unsur akhaka. Support your brother or your sister, Zaliman aw mazluma, whether your brother or sister is the wrongdoer, the oppressor, the abuser, the harmer, or Muslim, or he or she is the victim. So the companion said, Ya Rasulullah, we understand how to support our brothers and sisters when they're the victims. How do we support them when they're the oppressors and the perpetrators? We help them with the perpetration? No. Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave a clear, simple answer. He said, by stopping them from doing their perpetration, by stopping them from continuing in their oppression, from stopping them from continuing to abuse and hurt. That's how you love your brother and sister. Honest love. My brother and sister, I love you for the sake of Allah, but because I love you for the sake of Allah, I want this, I need to advise you about. But I don't advise you in front of everybody because then I'm humiliating you. I advise you sincerely aside like I would love this person to advise me. I'll tell you about this beautiful story. Amr radiallahu anhu, his name is Amr, Abdullah ibn Amr, and a situation that happened with Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu at the time of the Prophet, peace be upon him. The Prophet, peace be upon him, gave them a land. I think it was from the zakat or sadaqah or spoils of war. I don't know where. The point is, it was offered as a service for services that people did. So Abu Bakr and Abdullah ibn Amr, I think it was Abdullah ibn Amr, who received a portion of land. Each one who took a part, one half. So they came to look at the land, and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu claimed that his land was up to this measure. And the other companion, Amr, he said, Abdullah ibn Amr, he said, I think the Prophet, peace be upon him, gave me this size. I think you're wrong. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, no, I'm sure he said this. Now, of course, the Messenger of Allah is telling them, therefore, number one, it's their possession that came to them from a Messenger of Allah by the command of Allah. And so they have to obey the Messenger of Allah and make sure everything's right. But as they were talking about it, it turned into a minor quarrel. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said a word which hurt the feelings of the other companion. Then he realized what he said, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, as-Siddiq, whom the Prophet, peace be upon him, loved more than anyone else among the men. More than anyone else among the men. The one whom he said, if I were to take the closest companion and loved person to me in this world, it would have been Abu Bakr. But I already have been assigned a close friend. It was Jibril. For my brothers and sisters, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said a word, and then when he realized that he had said a word that hurt his brother in Islam, just a word, his face became pale. And he said to him, please, say it back to me. Say it back to me. Say the same word. Take your revenge. Call me the same thing I called you. He said, La wallahi, I will not call you the same thing. Please call me, and if you don't call me the same thing, I'm going to go and complain to the Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to the Messenger of Allah. He said, wallahi, I won't say it. So he went to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Bakr said, I'm going to complain. Now the people gathered around this companion, and they said to him, what's this? He goes and hurts you with his word, and now he goes and plays the victim by saying, I'm going to complain. That's what they tried to whisper. Obviously, they were probably hypocrites who tried to create more fitna. Like what you see on comments sometimes, you know, those bots and those people who they spam your, is that called spamming? And then they go inside and they start to create comments just to, is the word rage bait you? That's what young people say. I like that word, rage bait. Yani in Arabic, handek. I've never found the correct translation from Lebanese, handek. I mean, handekni in English until this new teenage generation today, rage bait. Perfect. So they came to rage bait him. And he said, wallahi, I will not say a word about Abu Bakr. How dare you? Do you know who this man is? He's the beloved of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He is the one who was in the cave. He is the one whom Allah mentioned in the Quran. And then if I say a word, this will anger the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Messenger will be angry and Allah will be angry with me. Stay away. So he went and found Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu telling the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam what had happened. And when the man entered, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, is it from your side, is it exactly as Abu Bakr is telling me? And the other companion said, yes, Ya Rasulullah, it is exactly as he said. And the Prophet, peace be upon him, said to the other companion, thank you, good. Please do not hurt my beloved friend Abu Bakr with any word. Instead, say to him, غفر الله لك يا أبو بكر أو يغفر الله لك يا أبو بكر. Allah forgives you, Ya Abu Bakr. So he kept on repeating it until Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu began to cry and he walked away crying out of that beautiful dua. For my brothers and sisters, we see the examples of brotherhood and sisterhood here. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam first entered Medina, he did something which was unprecedented. He made a brotherhood bond fraternity between the muhajirin, the migrants, and the ansar, the refugees and the residents. And he made a brotherhood bond between them. The refugees who were coming from Mecca, Umar radiallahu anhu, Uthman, and the rest of the companions, and Ali radiallahu anhu, all of them, they were destitute. So the Prophet gathered, I think there were about 80 of them who were destitute at that time, in the masjid, and he made a special brotherhood bond between every two people. For example, Salman al-Farisi was the faithful brother of Abu Darda. Umar radiallahu anhu was the faithful brother of another Ansari. Abu Bakr was with someone else. And they looked out for each other. In the beginning, they even inherited from each other until the ayah of the Quran was revealed to say only the heirs can only be blood related. And they looked after for each other. One of them is when Salman al-Farisi was very knowledgeable in the scriptures and the Quran. He used to go and visit Abu Darda. One day he knocked on his door and his wife, Ummu Darda, answered. And he asked, where is my brother, Abu Darda? How is he? And she said to him, wallahi, your brother Abu Darda is in turmoil. And right now he is in the masjid. She didn't say turmoil. He says, your brother Abu Darda is too busy with his God, with Allah, with his Lord. And he saw Ummu Darda, obviously she was covered, but she was not dressed in a good state. What do I mean by not dressed? Meaning her clothing was a bit worn out, not being looked after. So he went to the masjid and saw his brother Abu Darda. He said, come with me from the masjid, come home to your family. He said, I want to worship Allah. He said, leave the worship of Allah and go to your family, they need you. Go and look after your wife. Go and care for her. So he went, listening to his brother, because the Prophet said, you have to listen to each other in goodness. Then that day he said, I'm going to come and stay at your house. Welcome, Ya Salman. He enters. The Abu Darda was fasting. He said, break your fast. He said, I want to fast for the sake of Allah. He said, break your fast. So he broke his fast. He was fasting one day on, one day off. Then that night came and he wanted to stay up praying tahajjud. Qiyam. He said, sleep. He said, I want to pray Qiyam. He said, sleep. Then they woke up a little bit before Fajr and prayed together. So Abu Darda went to the Prophet ﷺ complaining. Ya Rasulullah, my brother Salman is telling me to do this, this and that. And I want to worship Allah, I want to fast, and I want to pray in the night. He said, what does Salman say to you? What does he say to you? He said, Salman says to me, لِزَوْجِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقْ وَلِرَبِّكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقْ لِرَبِّكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقْ وَلِزَوْجِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقْ وَلِنَفْسِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقْ فَعْطِ كُلِّ ذِي حَقٍ حَقًّا. Your Lord has a right upon you, but your wife also has a right upon you, and your own health and well-being has a right upon you, your body has a right upon you. Give each one its right in proportion. Don't do one at the expense of the other or neglect the other. Subhanallah. The Prophet, peace be upon him, said, Sadaqa Salman, Sadaqa Salman, Sadaqa Salman. Salman has spoken the truth. Three times he said it. Salman has spoken the truth, Salman has spoken the truth. The point from this story is to show you the brotherhood bond, what it means, to give you an example. That we're there for each other, we assist one another as much as we can. We make dua for each other and so on. Finally, brothers and sisters, here are the deal breakers of brotherhood bonds. The deal breakers. The first one, these are the biggest ones, racism. Racism is the destroyer of our community's brotherhood and sisterhood bond. When a person believes that where they came from, their abilities or characteristics, like their color or their nationality, makes them superior or inferior to others. This is racism. And Islam forbids this strongly, to the point that the Prophet ﷺ said the following words in Sahih Muslim, اتركوها فإنها نتنة أو منتنة. Drop it. Let go of racism, for it is like a stinking carcass with no good in it. If you're walking on the road and there's a stinking carcass, what does this mean? It means racial discrimination, that just because I'm a particular color, I'm more superior to you, or you're superior to me, or I feel inferior to you. Who is the one that created you and me? Allah. So when I insult another color, who am I actually insulting? I'm insulting the creation of Allah. I'm insulting the choice of Allah. I'm insulting the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The next deal breaker of brotherhood bond is family feuds over senseless things, over money, over comparing, over cutting off for senseless things, tit for tat attitudes. Some people, they say to their children or to their spouse or to whoever, you're not to talk to your uncle, you're not to talk to your auntie, you're not to talk to your brother or sister, you're not to talk to that cousin, so long as I don't like them. La, your beef with them has nothing to do with the relationship that the rest of the family has with them, unless they are truly going to be harmed and hurt. Some people go for 10 years. I know of people whose children, wallahi, never knew that they had, you know, a certain relative, an uncle or an aunt, for 10 years while they lived among them, because of parents' grudges for worldly benefit and never reconciling. Comparing your brother, your sister, your brother-in-law, your sister-in-law, so-and-so, they treat them like this, they got this, why can't you do that? Comparing constantly breaks the brotherhood bond. When Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told us to love for your brother what you love for yourself. Why don't turn around and say, Alhamdulillah, they have that, wallahi, may Allah increase it for them, and may Allah increase it for me too. That's true, brotherhood and sisterhood, it exists even in the family. Number three, deal breaker is sexism. What is sexism? When a person discriminates or looks down on another person just because they are a female or a male, and Islam forbids this strongly to the point that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the hadith is in Sunan Ahmad 5869, An-nisa'u ashiqa'u rijal. Women are the peers of men. What does peers mean in English? Ashiqa', peers, is the correct translation. It means equals in worth and importance. Equals in what? In worth and importance and value. Even though their roles may be different, equality here in Islam between sexes is in their worth, their importance and their value, regardless of their role. Also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran that men and women are equally rewarded by Allah without discrimination in Surah Ali Imran, chapter 3, verse 195. A husband is not superior to his wife, and a wife is not superior to her husband. Nor is a girl better than a boy, nor is a boy better than a girl. And finally, other deal breakers are when we hold grudges for so long, trust issues for so long, peer pressure that gives us peer pressure from people, jealousy for so long, selfishness for so long. So I encourage you, brothers and sisters, to exercise the habit of forgiveness and to try and learn how to let go of things. So for example, medical research has shown that holding grudges for too long causes severe stress and anxiety. Wallahi, research studies have established that holding grudges for so long makes pain, you know the pain that you feel? It makes pain feel even worse. So if it's a 5 out of 10, it becomes an 8 out of 10. And it's bad for your health, especially on your heart as you get older. Cardiovascular diseases as a result of holding grudges for so long. Studies have shown, wallahi, this appeared in Association for Psychological Science. It says that prayer increases the ability to forgive. Because, you know, when you get angry and hold grudges, you want to be compensated. So when you pray to Allah, you remember that Allah has in store for you something greater. Allah says, وَمَا تُقَدِّمُ لِأَنفُسِكُم مِّن خَيْرٍ تَجِدُوهُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. Whatever goodness you put forth is for yourselves, you will find it with Allah. هُوَ خَيْرًا. Allah is the best to receive your reward from. وَأَعْظَمَ أَجْرًا. His rewards are far greater than anyone can give you. So you say, I'm compensated. You know, for me personally, I've learnt this in my life, that people who hurt me with a word or something like that, where khalas, they hurt me, it's gone, it's words, it's gossip, it's backbiting, it's whatever it is. These people have hurt me, I've learnt to exercise this. Just remember that with Allah, nothing is ever lost. Yes, I defend myself, I protect myself, I tell the person, but in myself, my grudges, my pain goes away by remembering that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not let an atom's worth of my hurt gone. Absolutely not. And this is what faith and prayer and believing in Allah and the hereafter benefits you with. Of course, brothers and sisters, forgiving someone is conditional on certain things in Islam, and letting go is conditional. Not every forgiveness is a must, and not every forgiveness is encouraged in Islam. A lot of people have this misconception. It's the last thing I want to say. There are situations where your forgiveness may empower or enable the other person to continue their evil. In this case, you let them know that I have not forgiven you. Or at least you can say to them, I've forgiven it from my heart because I want to go to sleep, but I'm not going to forget it. And then you change your relationship or your interaction or dealings with that person if you know that that person is increasing in evil and increasing in being violating your rights. Forgiveness is your right. We are encouraged to forgive, and Allah will forgive us. أَلَا تُحِبُّونَ أَن يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. Do you not want Allah to forgive you? Then forgive one another and pardon each other. But in certain circumstances, if the forgiveness will cause a greater harm, You don't have to forgive. But I advise you, brothers and sisters, to look at forgiveness from a different angle. Forgiveness is just basically letting go of letting that thought and that thing that you have occupy your own mind and your own heart and your own health. Go to sleep and have good sleep and say, I'm not going to let this affect my own health while the other person goes to sleep nicely. So brothers and sisters, you are my brothers and sisters in faith and iman. Subhanallah, I remember at school, I don't know if you allow me to do this, when I was a teacher, I used to get letters from students when they used to talk about their experiences. And one of the exercises that I did in year 8 for students for a few years is the Brotherhood program. And what I did was I used to put names of students in a hat. Of course, boys and girls separate. And whichever name they picked out, they have to open it up, and that name has to be their brother or sister in faith for the next 1 to 3 days. They have to remind each other. There was a guideline, and they have to write a report for it and a letter. Alhamdulillah, we had a brother, young man, who used to be somewhat of a leader, and sometimes he'd be a bit harmful to others. And another one was always bullied. So subhanAllah, their names came up, the popular and the bullied one, like the most bullied in class and the most popular. And they had to share time together. They had to share their friends together, their games together, everything. They have to work it out. I did not care. SubhanAllah, after that, they became friends until they graduated. And that leader, you know, wrote a letter, and the other one wrote a letter and says, I noticed in him actions and behaviors I didn't see before. I used to think he was like this. I used to think he was like that. Oh, and subhanAllah, they found a way. Rahmatullah alayhi, the one who was the leader in the class, rahmatullah, he passed away a few years ago. May Allah have mercy on his soul. But that was a beautiful thing. Here is one letter from one student. He says, to be honest with you, sir, coming from a non-Muslim school to a Muslim school, I expected that there would be warm brotherly treatment from my Muslim colleagues. This one made me sad, especially that I suffer from a rare disease which makes me act abnormally at times and without notice. It was a type of diabetes that he had. And I got bullied for it at my other school, but I've gotten used to the judgmentality over the years by others. I know Islam is not to blame, it's young people's lack of education. But the day you encouraged me to speak about my condition to the class, I actually asked him to come up and speak about his condition to the class so they know, and I thought this would be a good strategy, inshallah. I felt a merciful and caring nature come out that I felt I belonged like everyone else. The student showed him empathy. I can see this unique thing about Muslim students here. I just wish it didn't have to come to the point of talking about my condition for them to treat me better. It should be in them already and always, but I am grateful. That was a U9 student about 10 years ago, 15 years ago I had this student. Another one says, I've always been short and teased for it. It made me think I am lesser than everyone else and started lacking confidence. But in year 8, our religion teacher made us do an activity called the Brotherhood Program, the one I'm talking to you about, where we teamed up with random colleagues in class, names were drawn out of a hat and so on. I didn't like it at first, but by the end of it, we found common interests we never saw before. He was loyal to his promises and I appreciated it. And when others saw him that way, they copied him and became nice to me. It's 2 years later since we both left school and we still keep in contact, alhamdulillah. You know, sir, it can take one person to influence others in a good way. I'd like to advise other brothers and sisters to give people a chance. It'll really open their eyes. One more I'll read for me and then we're done. I didn't think there will still be good Muslims around until this amazing girl at school. She saw me wandering by myself at recess and lunch, sitting by myself most of the time because I just couldn't trust anyone anymore. But she approached me with her friends and made me feel valued. She never talked about anyone in a bad way. And when I accidentally talked about someone else, she would stop me and say, you know, when you talk about others, it can make me think you will one day talk about me. But I know you're a good person. Sisterhood in Islam means correcting each other because you genuinely want good for them. I once asked her why she was so nice and genuine. She replied, because of my love for Allah. Whenever I see her, I automatically think of Allah. I've never met someone like that before. Are there still Muslims like this around? Another year 8 student. So brothers and sisters, these are some of the examples of today of true brotherhood and sisterhood. And we don't want the brotherhood and sisterhood of gangsters and loyalty based on materialism or something that I want from you. And then I call you cuz because of it. I'm always there for you cuz, or I'm there for you bro or sis or whatever. This is not a true brotherhood and sisterhood unless the brother and sisters that you're there for each other is based on what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves and on goodness and honesty. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase the brotherhood and the love between us in our community. May Allah wallahi, the brotherhood in a community is what gives rise to a new triumphant community and the entire ummah. You will see victory coming. You'll see the oppressed stopping, the oppressed getting out of their oppression and the oppressor thinking twice. Because, and I finish with this, Rasulullah said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. Hold all of you together to the rope of Allah and do not divide. In another verse, وَلَا تَنَازَعُوا فَتَفْشَلُوا وَتَذْهَبَ رِيحُكُمْ. وَأَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ. Obey Allah and His Messenger and do not dispute among one another and divide, otherwise you will lose and your respect and fear will go away from your enemies. What Rasul صلى الله عليه وسلم said, يَدُ اللَّهِ عَلَى الْجَمَاعَةِ أَوْ مَعَ الْجَمَاعَةِ. Allah's support is always with the community that is together. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us a community of togetherness, fill us with the understanding of love for the sake of Allah, and grant us the true reward of the true fraternity of brotherhood and sisterhood, where on the Day of Judgment we find ourselves on lanterns of nur and faces of nur. Ameen. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.